You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel welcoming you to this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. I hope you're all enjoying the holiday season, getting ready for Christmas or Kwanzaa, and had a nice Hanukkah, or whatever it is that you celebrate. And the Washington Mystics gave their fans an early Christmas present, as they brought some stability to the franchise and a person that will be able to at least give it a 150% try at bringing the franchise back to life and back to legitimacy in both the league and the public's eye, and that is former Connecticut Sun coach Mike Tebow. Now, Mike and I had a chance to talk, and then we're going to also hear from the voice of the Mystics, Christy Winterscott, as we discuss the changes in the Mystic organization that happened this week on this week's Dishin' and Swishin'. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcoming you to Dishin' and Swishin' right now. I'm pleased to have a few moments with the new coach of the Washington Mystics, the new GM of the Washington Mystics, a great coach and administrator and someone who is just right for a building franchise, Mike Tebow. Coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Well, Coach, you know, things seem to work really quickly in this. It seemed like you became available, they saw what they needed, and things moved pretty quickly.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, it was a great conversation almost immediately between both sides, but it took some time to get, you know, a little bit of a feel for each other and you know, reassurances on both sides that we were both on the same page and headed where we wanted to be, and it's worked out great.
Well, one thing that kept sticking in my mind through all the time when I was, you know, hearing the rumors and all was sitting in the media room and you commenting after a game at the beginning of June that this was going to be a tough team, the Mystics, that was going to give people a hard time all season long. And you pointed out in your press conference today that they seemed to be always that one or two plays short, but they were right there every game.
Yeah, I don't remember them getting blown out more than, you know, one, two, three times. I don't know. I couldn't tell you exactly, but probably including the exhibition game, all the games we play with them, the majority of the games were, you know, down to the last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of games, a 7-point game, 5-point game, and they were competitive. They played hard, and they did a lot of things right, but they couldn't finish. They just, you know, whether it was a turnover here or a missed blockout or, you know, whatever it was, they couldn't finish games. And that's, you know, that's something, at least parts of those can be fixed right away.
Well, one thing that you're certainly known about is your teams have always play hard for all 40 minutes of a game, and they certainly excel on the defensive end of things.
Well, that's the plan. I think that's the blueprint we have to start with here because this team does have a few deficiencies, and they were not a good perimeter shooting team, and they didn't have a lot of penetration to create easy shots for people. So we can get better right away on the defensive end. That's an effort thing. There's enough skilled athletes here who have quickness and size and those kinds of things that they can become a better defensive team right away. Then you have to go about addressing the other issues, maybe with some personnel changes or, you know, some additions to the team, but at least they can be competitive at that end of the court right away.
Well, you certainly know about working around a all-star power forward, and, you know, you go from Asia Jones to Crystal Langhorne, so this is certainly some familiar territory, having a star like that to build around.
It really is. She's had a terrific career so far. I think she has a little bit more upside to her, and so, you know, we'll try to bring that out, and I've told her that, you know, I need her to be a great leader, and I think she's willing to step up and do that. And so hopefully I'll have the same kind of relationship with her that I had with Asia Jones.
Well, you certainly have the players looking up and are excited. Monique Curry tweeted how excited she was for you to be joining the organization, and one other player who I spoke to privately, you know, said that she felt that you were going to be a great fit, and that they owe the fans to the someone like you as a coach, was what she said.
Well, that's nice to hear. We'll see how that player feels about the third day of practice. So, But it's going to be good.
You know, it is some. The crowds there were infamous, were famous, and now they're infamous, I guess you would say.
Yeah, we're missing.
So what do you do to bring the fans back? Is it just a matter of wins and playing hard, or do you feel that you got to go out and try and win some confidence back too?
Well, I think you have to do that. I think that they supported a team for years that was kind of up and down, and obviously it's been a real struggle the last couple of years. We need to win their trust back, and I think you get trust back in a couple areas. Number one, I think just the fact that Ted and Sheila have made a long-term commitment to me will alleviate some of the fears that fans hear about, is this team going to go away? Do they really care? Do they want to win? I think that's been alleviated today. Then it's on me and the players to go out and reaffirm for them that they're going to see a great effort every night. They're going to play hard. I can't guarantee, I don't know what the wins will be the first year. It will certainly be better. But I think the fans need to know that when they show up to watch a Mystics game, that they're going to see an unbelievably great effort every night, that they won't go home thinking, man, this team, mailed it in or cashed it in. And I think that's the first step. Obviously, we have areas of the game we need to get better in, and they need to see that we're trying to address those issues, whether it's through the draft or trades or free agency. Fans want to know that there's a plan in place and that a coach is going to stick to it. And they may not understand everything we do in the first year, but I think after they see us play for a while, they'll say, hey, there is a picture. I went to Connecticut with a picture in my mind of what I wanted it to look like. And the players bought into that, and they started to share the same picture. And that's what we need to do here.
Hey, there's certainly the blueprint may have been laid out even more for them to see in Tulsa last year, with the team still struggling in the wins column, but the effort and the excitement and enthusiasm certainly built, and I'm sure that you're going to be doing the same thing down there.
That's the plan.
But the most important thing about you being there in the East is that we still get to see the Tebow versus Lambeer.
Yeah, I suspect that'll be a pretty good rivalry. We're going to have to hold up our end of the bargain, but I think it could be a great one.
Mike, I want to thank you for taking just a couple minutes. I know you're running around like crazy down there, but I want to wish you the best of luck. It's great to see you still in the WNBA. The league can't afford to lose people like you.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate it very much.
Take care and good luck.
All right, thanks.
This is Maya Moore, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. So on this next portion of Dishin' and Swishin', as we've already talked to the new head coach and general manager of the Washington Mystics, Mike Tebow, it is my pleasure to welcome the voice of the Washington Mystics, a longtime friend and guest of the podcast, Christy Winterscott, joins us now. Christy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. So, Christy, as a person that broadcasts these games, in addition to the fact that you know that Mike's going to make it more entertaining to talk about, the coach is yelling at the referee again, is this like a Christmas present for you a little bit early?
Oh, it's definitely a Christmas present, a Kwanzaa present, everything. I think that Mike is going to come in and really do a tremendous job, and I think that he has really proven himself over the course of his career that he can come in and be a game changer, if you will. And I think it's not only the X's and O's that he brings, but I think he brings a wealth of knowledge in terms of dealing with players and the fans and just really including everyone and having a good rapport with his management also. I think that's going to be a huge bonus for him, but I think he's definitely going to come in and change things, and that's what Washington needs.
One of the things that I've always respected about him is, this is a person that has the background in the men's game, as we all know, with his NBA and his D-League experiences. He's never had anything but respect for the way that the women's game is played, and he treats the game the same as he would at its basketball, and that's how he handles it.
Oh, that's right, and I think that's why the women's basketball community has such admirable rapport with him in terms of his credibility for the league. And, you know, some people that have the NBA experience don't actually respect the women's game the way that he does. And I think that he has really laid the foundation for men's coaches in the NBA to come to the professional level on the women's side and treat it, like you said, like the game of basketball, period. And that's what it is, because those of us in the women's basketball community know that's the truth. And it is, you know, there's some nuances, obviously, in terms of how many players play above the rim on the men's side, but that doesn't encompass everything that the game is about. And it's about teamwork. It's about communication, and that's the same thing on the men's side. So with that being said, I think that that just really bodes well for the future of the organization in Washington.
And speaking of the future of the organization in Washington, one of the things that Mike certainly focused on and really sought out in that initial introduction was to allay any fears that this team was going anywhere.
I don't think so. I think there were some rumblings, but that wasn't coming from within the organization. You know, you'll see it on a blog, like, well, will the team be there? And, you know, there's never been anything written from management saying that there was any issue with that at all. I think Inova has been a fantastic sponsor, and there's a lot of backing financially, so I don't think there was any danger of the team going anywhere other than the nation's capital. But with the hiring of Mike Thibault as the coach and GM of this team, I think that the future is bright for the team, and I know that the players are excited as well.
And one of the things that he mentioned to me when we were talking was the fact that, you know, the fans are sort of a slumbering giant, was the way that he described it, and that he's looking forward to getting some excitement going and the confidence of the fans back and getting those attendance banners that were such a thing of pride for the organization, get the numbers back up.
Yes, and the Washington fans are the best fans. And, you know, you had fans that have been there from the beginning. Last year, Washington celebrated 15 years, and there were fans that continued to come. And it didn't matter what the win-loss record was. It was the support of the organization and the support of women's basketball. I mean, there are people that come and they've played basketball. They're in their 60s and 70s. They played when they were little girls. They come back because of the spirit of the game and the love of the game. And, yes, you want to win games, but at the same time, you're supporting the cause. And I think with the celebration of the 40th anniversary of Title IX last year, it's bigger than wins and losses when it comes down to supporting the game of women's basketball. It grows the game. The support of it is vital. And the fact that Mike Thibault is coming in to the organization, I think that does really give a shot in the arm to the respectability of the game of women's basketball. You know, forget about, you know, the WNBA and everything else. It's just that, you know, when you're out shooting hoops when you're 8 or 9 years old, on your hoop in your driveway or at the YMCA or something, that love, the reason why you're at that court is the reason why the fans come out. It's that genuine love of the game of basketball, regardless of gender, but it's that love of competition, the opportunity to compete, and I think the fans are going to be so excited to see the brand of basketball that Mike brings to the floor.
The things that he discussed was the fact that he was in it for almost every game, and that finishing was a problem, and he thought that there's a lot of things that he could do about that right away. You know, whenever you have a team that has the record of the Mystics, obviously you're going to have your share of some blowouts. But as he mentioned, you know, whenever they played Connecticut, it was very tough games. I mean, even as late as September, there was a 77-70 game, and, you know, New York was a playoff team. On the road, they beat New York at one point. And then they lost, you know, by six. So, you know, there's certainly credence in what he's saying, and that there's definitely some opportunities there for some immediate improvement if they could just corral some of those close games.
Right, and I think it really comes down to, you know, not just late gameplay, but I think it's throughout the game. And we all know that, you know, you look back at the stat sheet and say, wow, we didn't shoot well from the free throw line, and we lost by one. You know, it's the little things that happen over the course of the game that help decide the outcome. So I think down the stretch, yes, there will be close games, even with doing well throughout the game and things. But I think that it's going to be a confidence booster for the players to have someone with his experience in the game of basketball to come in and really get them to, you know, take a breath, drop your shoulders, and, hey, this is what we're going to do on this play. And it's going to come down to the players executing that, because I think down the stretch in several of the games in this past season, I think that there were some opportunities that were missed because of lack of executing what they wanted. And I think that's frustrating. Being a coach, I know that execution is key, and it can't just be one or two players on board with that. Everyone has to be on the same page with what's expected. And I think Mike Tebow is expecting his team to execute, and he's going to tell them how to do it, and I think they respect that, and they want that.
You know, one thing that would certainly help the team is some consistency in minutes and health and lineups, which I think that he will bring some stability immediately to that group. You look at the team, and now granted, if you factor in the, Langhorne's injuries, there's not one player on this team that started 34 games last year, and she started the most with 31, and she missed those three games. Nobody else started every game that they were supposed to, even a Monique Curry or somebody along that lines.
Right, and that makes it tough for the team. I think you want to have that kind of stability. You want to have chemistry. And, when you're in practice, you work with the same five most times, and you want to have that same chemistry on the court when you're playing in a game. So I think he did a fantastic job in his 10 years at Connecticut having a consistent base of players. And that's what makes a good team. You have to have players that read and react when plays break down, and that comes with chemistry and playing together. So when you mix lineups like that, it really makes it difficult to read and react, because when you break a play, sometimes it's tough to make a play when you can't really have a good feel of where your teammate's going to be. So I think he's going to bring that kind of chemistry because of the consistency of the lineups to Washington. And, I mean, that's just going to make a great team. I think you have to have that kind of chemistry on the floor and that kind of understanding. And, again, it comes back to executing, but it also comes back to expectations. And I think he has very high expectations. The bar is set very high when it comes to doing what needs to be done to be successful.
And I think that he is going to preach the Tulsa Shock method of development, we'll call it these days. I think that if nothing else, you're going to see a team that's going to go after it for 40 minutes and play aggressive defense all of the time, or they're not going to be on the court, which is something that worked so well in Tulsa this year in gaining interest and respect out of teams. And I think that that's the first step, is getting that interest back from the fans and gaining a measure of respect back for this franchise.
No question about it. I think that the fans appreciate hard-working teams, especially on the defensive end, because that's what you can control. You can shoot the same shot with your same form, and that thing will not fall. And that's just how it goes sometimes. But defensively, you can always bring your best effort. That's just a focus factor. And I think that he's going to hold that bar very high for this team on the defensive end. And I think he can take a page out of Coach Klopp's book in terms of defense first, and everything else will fall into place, because you're going to get a lot of offensive opportunities because of your energy and effort on the defensive end. And rebounding also, I think, it's a part of defense, but I think if you can be tough with those two things and lay the foundation of hard work on that end first, everything else will be easy for them. And I think that offensively, again, it's going to take some time, but the consistency of the lineup, I think, will help there. But it also helps on the defensive end. There's communication involved, and you have to have a good feel of when to help and who needs the help. And I think that comes with chemistry and lineups also.
And one thing that Mike is certainly experienced with, and that's starting with a star power forward and being able to put the pieces together around. Although I think he might like to try and ask if he can have a do-over now on that Washington to Connecticut trade that sent Asia Jones up to Connecticut and see if he can get her back. But I know he's looking forward to working with Crystal Langhorne.
Oh, I know there's no question there. I know Tina Charles is a little younger, but at the same time, a fantastic player. But Asia Jones, you know, she spent a couple years in D.C. and was a fan favorite down here. But, yeah, if there's any kind of reversal of fate, I guess we could see if that could happen for us to get Jones back down. But he works with who he has, and he does it so well. And I think he has a great knack of putting the puzzle pieces together, regardless of what the lineup is. Yes, Jones would be nice to have down here, but I think there's a fine group of young women who are willing to learn, and I think that's what this team brings to the table for him, the willing attitude, the embracing of new philosophy attitude. And you have to have that all the time, like every year. And regardless of who the coach is, there's got to be an open-mindedness of the players who accept what needs to be done. And, you know, even if they, in their mind, like they were overseas and they did a certain defense and, oh, that wasn't so great, it doesn't matter. You have to do what you're supposed to do today and stay in the now and respect what the coach is telling you and go in full force and just believe. And that's a lot of what successful teams do. They believe in each other. They believe in the philosophy. And that's what Washington is expecting, and I think the players are excited about that as well.
Now, he speculated that there would probably be, you know, a 25 to 40% turnover on this team. Now, you know, obviously when you're dealing with 11 players, you know, that's not a whole lot. You know, you've got a situation where Lindsey Wisdom Hilton is already retired. You had some people signed at the end there that you don't know if they're coming back. So does that do those numbers sound about right to you, do you think, based on what you saw in that team, what he'll need for success? Not looking to name names or say that so-and-so stays, somebody goes. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, sound about like a good turnover percentage for 1 year to start rebuilding?
I think that's fair. And the fact that he said that, I think he has a good understanding of what the team needs. Like you said, to put the pieces around a star forward. And I think that with that being said, he's got the majority of the college season left to evaluate the classes coming out and to see who would be best suited to be chosen at the fourth pick for Washington. And we'll get into that later, maybe, or not. That's fine. But the fourth pick, I think, is going to be a vital piece to the success of the team. And to have, you know, a couple players not return or get some trades in turn for some players, I think would be a fresh start for him. And, you know, with him being also the general manager, I think it's vital for him to choose those pieces that fit his philosophy. So I think that's a fair number, and I'm excited to see the changes that are going to be made.
That's before the holidays. I'm not going to put anything. We're not going to discuss that now.
Right.
We'll let people worry about that later. Right now, you know, bask in the warmth of having a solid coach and general manager, and we'll worry about the fact that you got ripped off and didn't get one of the top three picks later.
Okay, that's fair.
Well, Christy, I want to thank you for spending a few minutes with me, and I hope you're enjoying the holiday season. And how's the high school teams doing?
We are doing great. We are 7-1 right now. We won last night against our crosstown rival, Herndon, so that was always fun. It was a doubleheader with the boys' team, so it was a great community outing for everyone. It was packed in there, so we love that environment, which is why my voice is a little, you know, shoddy today, but it's fun stuff. And the only game we lost by 1 point to a perennial power in our region, West Springfield. That's where Carol Lawson, who plays for Connecticut, you know, it's where she went to high school. So always a great team, but we lost down the stretch there on a buzzer beater. So, you know, we're playing really well. I'm so excited for our team.
Well, that's great. And how about the Terps, the way they're fighting through these injuries?
Oh, you know, hats off to them. I mean, you never anticipate injuries happening, and when they do, you don't expect three ACLs to key players for you, and you already have a short roster to begin with. But I told Coach Reeves that we had eight players when we went to the Final Four at Maryland, so it can be done, and you just have to work hard. Not a lot of rest during practice at all. You're constantly on the move because of the lack of number, but I think we were better conditioned than any team that we've played, because we practiced 3.5 hours most times with eight players. We didn't have practice players, so, yeah, we were in great shape. But I think Maryland will do well because of the adversity, and I think that'll take them to another level mentally in terms of being focused and not getting in foul trouble and things like that. I think that really helps you. You know, you saw Michael Jordan when he was sick. He played great. You know, it's kind of that kind of philosophy, like, okay, this is happening, but there's a way to find that place inside, and I think Marilyn's done a tremendous job thus far with that.
Well, I will say I did see Mike at the Connecticut-Maryland game doing some scouting. So I'll throw out there for some holiday wishes to people. So.
Oh, that sounds good.
Christy, thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the rest of the holiday season, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You too, Dave. Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays to you.
Bye-bye.